Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
I got a feeling everything's going to be all right when the morning comes. Take my text. I do need to make mention to the men of this church. Need you to come out Saturday morning. I think Brother Sanders say about 6 o'clock in order to wash down the church. Kind of pick up around on the ground just this Saturday at 6 o'clock, if you will. Amen. We give thanks to God Almighty for his mercy and his grace and his love and kindness. Reverend Lavallee, to the officers and members of this great church, Mount Olive Baptist Church, and to all that it takes to make up this august body. Our young people have done well this morning. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. I'm very proud of them. They've done quite well. Amen. We got some good children. Amen. We just got to find a way to get all of the goodness out of them. Amen. Amen. Also, I need to make mention, too, next Sunday, I need to bless all of our children because they'll be going to school next week. Am I right? Okay. Second Sunday, next Sunday, I need to bless them. I always do that each year before they go to school, so we need to do that. God's willing, on next Sunday. And also we got to dedicate a baby this afternoon also. Amen. I'd like to share with you from the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter 16. And I want to deal this morning with a subject that's not very popular. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Luke, the only Gentile writer of the gospel, he writes to Theophilus, a friend of God. Also, he wrote the book of Acts. Beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, designed to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Excuse me. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment, in Hades, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip, Lord have mercy, the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, For I am tormented in this flame. May God bless the reader and hearer and doer of his divine word. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, neighbor, hell is real. And it's hot. It's real. We all know heaven is real because we got our ticket in our hand waiting on the morning train. You know, you need to know hell is real also. The moment one departs this life, the spirit leaves the body and goes to be either with the Lord forevermore or in hell. For the scriptures say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, those who die in the Lord. Hell, it would seem, has fallen on lean times. It used to be that the majority of Christians, regardless of their denominational affiliation, believed that hell was a real place where the wicked and unrepentant go when they die. But I'm afraid this day and time that we don't hear much about it. And I've noticed here that sometimes when you say the word hell, people's French, as if it's not in the Bible. Huh? It's in the Bible. Now, it's in mine. Now, I don't know about you. You may have a different translation than I have. But I've noticed that when that word is said, malevolently, they look at me like I done cursed. I just say what's in the Bible. The very thought of the pain and torment of hell used to be enough to scare sinners straight. But now I need you to understand that hell was not made for man. Somebody say, well, God is too good and holy to send anybody to hell. But I come to tell you, he don't send nobody. You send yourself. Now, Matthew 25 and 41 says that then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, hell was created for the devil and his angels, for the devil and his workers, for the devil and his messenger, not for man. Now, heaven is real also, but it's a prepared place for prepared people. For John says in the gospel, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it's not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So, heaven is real also, but it's prepared, and Jesus has gone and prepared a place for you and I if we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, but it's for prepared people. And so I come by to tell you that when your eyes close, it ain't over. It's not the end when your eyes close down. It's not the end when we say goodbye. Because that's just the shell that comes in here. It's not the end. Life goes on. And you will either spend eternity, and I don't know how long that is, in hell or in heaven. Your choice is yours, and you must decide for yourself where you want to spend it at. I don't know about you, but you don't call enough hell here than to go die and live in hell forever. I know this not. No, this is not interesting preaching to you this morning, but I just need to let you know, let us know, that hell is real. And when you leave here, there is another place that you're going to spend eternity. And I'm praying that nobody goes to hell. Now, the Bible declares that it's real, and you do believe the word. Revelation 20 and 10 says that hell is called
a lake of fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I've seen lakes of water, but this is a lake of fire. And I do know that when you get in a lake of water, you get wet. And I would imagine if you get in a lake of fire, you're going to burn. And the Bible says that you won't burn just for a day or two. You won't be tormented just for a day or two, but forever. And on down it says that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life will be tossed in there also. Well, Isaiah 33 and 14 says hell is called a devouring fire. Matthew 25 and 30 describe hell as a place of weeping and wailing. Matthew 18 and 8 calls fire an everlasting fire. Revelation 21 calls it the bottomless pit. Hell is real. Pastor Billy Sunday said that hell is the highest award that the devil can offer you for being his servant. The highest award that he can offer you for being his servant. Then the question says, what is hell? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is the suffering that comes from the consciousness that one is no longer able to love. Hell is where everyone is doing his own thing. But paradise or heaven is where everybody's doing God's thing. Dr. Thomas Howard says this to us. The essence of hell is complete separation from God. That is the ultimate disaster in life. Real people are in hell. But the text depletes that was a rich man. And there was a beggar. Real people. With real actuality. And Jesus makes this point here. And he says to us that there was a certain, he didn't even give his name, but a certain rich man. And a beggar named Lazarus. But now look at the text. The rich man lived a good life. Wore the best of clothes. Stacy Adams. Mark Shapton suits, diamonds on his fingers, no doubt. Ate the best of food, caviar, and prime ribs. The best of food. Man of great fortune and reputation and influence, but self-interest. But now, on the other hand, is Lazarus, a poor man. Lazarus, poor man. There's enough for him to be poor, but he's sick. Enough to be sick, but his body is covered with sores, like Job. And here, he's crippled, because the text said that they brought him, and laid him at the gate of the rich man, while he's there eating scrumptiously. And the Bible says that this went on every day. Fine linen, looking good and smelling good, but ain't no good. And Lazarus did not desire to sit at the table with the rich man. No, did not desire to eat the food from his table, but the crumbs that fall from the table. The crumbs. He didn't even desire to eat the leftovers. You know, anytime you got a meal, you got some leftovers. He didn't even desire the leftovers. But the crumbs, the little nibbles and bits that fall from the table, that if you got a dog, if you ever had a dog, would sit right around your table and wait on them. Lick it up as it fall on the flame. Yeah. That's what he desired. But the Bible said, the text said that they both died. Death is a common lot for both the rich and the poor. The,
godly and the ungodly, the educated and uneducated. Hebrews 9 and 27, just as a man is destined to die once, and then the judgment. And Lazarus the beggar died. Rich man died. But Lazarus was carried to the bosom of Abraham. Now, I don't mean that Abraham held him like a little baby, but that was the closeness that Lazarus is now. But now the rich man, they say they buried him. Now, no doubt he had a nice service, paid mourners, big feast afterward. No doubt they had all of the people in the neighborhood speaking well of him. Huh? But he found himself in torment. Found himself in hell. That's where he lifted up his eyes. Now, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. Now, don't think he went because he was poor. But he went to heaven because he had a relationship with God. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. But he showed no compassion, no care, no concern for Lazarus. He didn't care enough to give him the crumb from the table. Just dying comfortlessly, the Bible said, every day. He thought only of himself. Selfish. That's what will land you in hell. Self-centered. When you've done it the least, you've done it on the God. And we find here in this text that hell is a real place, a place of suffering. For it said a rich man was in torment, a state of misery. Hell is characterized by pain and suffering, agony. In hell, there is no hope. It's a state of hopelessness. Not only is it a place of suffering, but it's a place of sensitivity. For the rich man was sensitive to his pain. He was sensitive to his thirst. For he asked Father Abraham, to let Lazarus dip his finger in the water and place it on his tongue. He was even selfish in hell. I asked him, let him get a bucket of water, foot tub of water. Not just a finger. Huh? Wet me. I'd be like Peter. Don't just wash my feet, but wash me all over. All he wanted was just a tip of the finger on his tongue. And you know something else, too? You got memory in hell. Huh? Okay, right there in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil thing, but now he is comfortable and you're in torment. Otherwise, you got to be careful how you treat other people, because that may be a time when you had it going on and you'll be begging. If you look at the text, the rich man didn't take no fine linen with him. Wasn't no U-Haul to haul the golden gobbles that he probably drank from. Naked he came. Whatever you got here, you're going to leave it here. Nothing wrong with having stuff, but don't let the stuff have you. Nothing wrong with having possession, but don't let the possession possess you. And be glad to help somebody. Because when you help other people, not only will you be blessed, but your children or grandchildren can be blessed because you bless somebody. You got to understand the blessing don't always come back to you, but it could come back to somebody in your family. They could be blessed because you bless somebody. He was selfish. But then, like I say, you got memories in hell. Well, he thought about his five brothers. He said, now, let Lazarus. Now, all of a sudden, now he know who Lazarus is. Well, all that time that Lazarus had been laid at his gate, laid at his door, he ain't paid him no mind. The dogs had more compassion for Lazarus, but the Bible say they licked his soul, but yet now he can't get Lazarus out of his mouth. Be careful. He said, let Lazarus go let my brothers know. All five of them. They don't want to come here. Huh? They don't want to come here. Abraham said, well, now, if they didn't listen to Moses and the other prophets, they ain't going to listen to the ones come from the dead. He said, oh, no, no, no. Say, that just might wake them up if one from the dead came. He said, but it's too late now. See, that's the next thing about hell. It's a place of no second chances. No opportunities there. He said, there's a gulf between us and you. We can't come to you. You can't come to us. In other words, Lazarus can't leave where he is. And I'm more sure that Lazarus didn't want to leave. You had your chance. It's too late now. So you got your chance, my darling. But after you close your eyes, it's too late. No second chance. No second opportunity. The day is your day. Hell is a fire that never burns out. You know, we had these forest fires, but they finally burned out. They burned acres and acres and acres of land. They even crossed state lines, Arizona into New Mexico, but they burned out. They had them in California, but they burned out. They had them in Georgia, but they burned out. But hell, the fire don't ever burn out. The fireman can't put it out. No chemicals to spray on it. Never go out. In Mark 9 and 48 say, where their worms does not die and the fire is not squinched. It's a place of outer darkness, a lake of fire, a place of weeping and gnashing of tooth. And finally, hell is a place of eternal separation from God. Complete separation from God. From evermore. You got a chance now. If you fall today, this morning you can get back up. But once you have gone to hell, it's all over. No second chance. And prayers are unanswered in hell. Even though the rich man prayed. But yet the answer was no. So the prayer was answered. But the answer is always no. You can't come where we are. And we can't come where you are. And won't make no sense and tell it your brothers if they didn't listen to the prophets and they didn't listen to Moses. They ain't gonna listen to you, to anybody from the dead. Well, because of Jesus, Mary baby boy came down 42 generations. He went about doing good and thought not of himself. Jesus, Mary, baby boy. Jesus laid hands on the lepers and they were clean. Jesus gave sight to the blind. Jesus took five little barley loaves and two little fish and fed the multitude. Jesus, that same Jesus that anointed the eyes of a blind man, told him to go wash, and he came seeing, went to Calvary one Friday. Jesus went to Calvary, but a nails in his hands, nails in his feet, but they forgot. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Jesus, it is spirit him in his side, blood and water come gushing out, put a crown of thorns on his head, blood come streaming down. Jesus, they mocked him. If you who you say you are, save yourself and didn't save us. That same Jesus, he died. Didn't he do it? He died. Yes, he did. Darkness covered the land. He died. Laid him in a borrowed tomb. Early, bright early, Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my Alpha and Omega, my Rose of Sharon, my bright morning star. Got up! Got up! With all power in heaven and in earth, in his wounded hands. Heaven is real. And it's for those that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, repented of their sins, turned away from sin and turned to the Savior. But hell is real also. And it was created for the devil and his angels, and those who refuse to repent of their sins and turn to Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's peace. There's joy. But it's a decision that you must make. And I pray that you don't leave here this morning without the assurance that you're going to heaven when you close your eyes. Because life is so short. Life is short. Young people are leaving here. Not just old people. Children are leaving. Young adults. They're leaving here. But you got to prepare yourself now for your departure. Paul said, my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. So you got to fight a good fight. You got to finish your course. But you got to keep the faith. So when he comes for you, you'll be ready to go and be with him forevermore. And the beautiful thing about it is, it'll be joy, 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 joy. Peace, peace. Now, I'm not in no hurry. I'm prepared, but I ain't gonna say I'm ready. I'm not ready for my departure. I want to stay here a little while longer than this. But if he calls me now, I'm prepared to go with him. But I'm praying that he let me stay here as long as he will. Those are churches open. We extend the privilege to you this morning to come, be a member of the body of Christ, to come this morning, give your life to Christ, give your
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318 888-348-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts.